This is Fantasy Lowdown with Patriots Today's Ryan Lowe.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. And there he goes! Inside the 20! Touchdown!
Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. Is it four touchdowns?
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
And welcome to the Fantasy Lowdown. We are coming to you from California, the first time in the lengthy history of the Fantasy Lowdown radio show that we are not in the palatial studios in Gillette Stadium. Coming to you from the Patriots headquarters for the week, in fact, out here near the in the Bay Area. The Patriots staying out west in between games against the San Francisco 49ers and the San Diego Chargers. And I'm here all week plugging away for Patriots Today and a little bit of Fantasy Lowdown as well. But you know what? When the Patriots move their operation out west for the week, why can't we? I know the PFW guys are sort of split squad, a little bit of PFW back home in Foxborough, a little bit of PFW out here in the Bay Area. For me, you know, this show is a two-man operation today. We got Jason Dvorkin back in Foxborough, and he'll chime in a little bit as well. In fact, we got a special treat. We're going to break down Jason Dvorkin's fantasy roster. Maybe we'll take a look at my roster as well. But it's much more fun to break down someone else's roster. You know, you can laugh at them a little bit, make fun of some of the moves they made, and we'll find out how Jason is doing. Because we are recording this a little bit earlier than the normal time, as you're listening to this, we certainly encourage you to send your emails. Unfortunately, we won't be getting to your emails during this show because we're recording a little bit earlier, but we always encourage you to send in your emails at webradio@patriots.com. You can send them in all throughout the week if you have questions that you want to have answered on the show. Who you think you should start, who you think you should sit. You just have some questions to ask about your roster, maybe some trades you have offered, a trade you're interested in offering. I'm not going to claim to be any kind of expert here. In fact, if you've tracked all the suggestions I've made over the course of these 5 weeks, hey, get a few right, get a few wrong. It's really just about batting around some ideas and finding out what everyone's thoughts are on the week that has passed and the week that is coming up. So, again, webradio@patriots.com is the way to go if you want to send us an email. We hope you're listening to today's show. We do have one email that we'll get to later during the show. But as we kick things off, let's just take a peek at some of the key performers from week five. We're entering week six on the NFL slate into the third week of bye weeks. And that always causes some issues as far as who to start and who to sit. I know I've had my problems as well. We'll touch on some of the key storylines entering this week. There's definitely some quarterback issues around the league that have fantasy impact. If we look at the QBs from week five who were among the key performers, there were a few who threw three touchdowns. We didn't have any six-touchdown outings a la Brett Favre a couple weeks ago, but the Patriots, when they played San Francisco the other day, J.T. O'Sullivan had three touchdowns and three interceptions, in fact, but if you own J.T. O'Sullivan, a little bit of a balance there, maybe depending on how much touchdowns versus interceptions, what kind of points you have deducted. Maybe you were able to scrape by with J.T. O'Sullivan. Ben Roethlisberger and Aaron Rodgers both had three touchdowns as well to go along with an interception, and both those guys topped the 300-yard mark. As far as yardage goes, Kyle Orton of the Chicago Bears, 334 yards in the Bears' blowout win over Detroit, and threw two touchdowns and no interceptions. I have to say that Kyle Orton was probably your fantasy QB player of the week. I should say Tony Romo had three touchdowns as well, along with an interception. But as far as yardage, as far as touchdowns and not throwing a lot of interceptions, of all people, Kyle Orton, who was in a QB battle with the immortal Rex Grossman as the season got underway, he was maybe your primo QB, fantasy QB of the week. Kurt Warner continues to put up some numbers. Of course, in that game against the Jets a couple weeks ago, the turnovers trumped all else. But against Buffalo at the end of the day, 250 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, a pretty solid outing. Eli Manning is another guy who had two touchdowns and no picks. You know, of course, Matt Cassel was an interesting one. You get the 66-yard touchdown, which is huge, and especially if yardage counts for more point totals in your league. If you had Matt Cassel, you were excited about that play. Of course, two interceptions as well. Decent yardage, 259. Drew Brees had 330 yards, just under the Kyle Orton number. Amazing that Kyle Orton is the standard bearer here. And, you know, if you had Drew Brees, you also have to worry about the two interceptions that he threw on that Monday night game. So as far as QBs go, there weren't, like I said, there weren't any of those massive performances kind of like Brett Favre had, but a couple of pretty solid ones nonetheless. Didn't seem like there were any massive disasters when it comes to two, three, four interception games around the league. Now, as far as running backs are concerned, a handful of guys had hit the end zone twice. D'Angelo Williams and Brandon Jacobs sort of head the list when it comes to yardage and multiple touchdowns. Jacobs in the Giants' absolute debacle over the Seattle Seahawks. He had 136 yards and a couple of scores. D'Angelo Williams, as the Carolina Panthers rattled the Kansas City Chiefs, he had 123 yards and two touchdowns. You were certainly satisfied with those guys. A little bit of the statistical conundrum of a couple of touchdowns but not a lot of yardage. Steve Slayton. Steve Slayton of the Houston Texans didn't get the 100-yard mark but did reach the end zone twice. At least he had more yardage, though, than Tim Hightower, who did reach the end zone twice if you were lucky enough to have him and start him in a touchdown league for the Cardinals against Buffalo. That certainly worked out well for you. And then, as we know, with the Patriots, Kevin Falk had hit the first two rushing touchdown game of his career, only 32 yards on the ground, but not really a guy who too many fantasy teams probably have started. It's interesting to see when a guy like Falk, who's in the rotation for a team that has multiple running backs, reaches the end zone twice, what kind of free-for-all there is on the waiver market to try to reel him in. So interesting to see that. A couple of other yardage guys. Ronnie Brown had 125 yards, massive dip in production from his previous game. Rather than being involved in five touchdowns, he was only involved in one. What's going on, Ronnie? You got to keep up that pace. Meanwhile, Michael Turner, 121 yards and a touchdown as well. So, again, you know, really, there have been some pretty big rushing performances, running back performances in the league. As far as week five went, you know, there were some big ones. There wasn't any, there, you know, there were no 140, 150, 160-yard guys and no one that reached the end zone three times. However, I should say D'Angelo Williams did have a receiving touchdown as well. So right there, D'Angelo Williams is probably your running back performer of the week from week five. As far as receivers go, once again, we got a couple of guys who went over 100 yards. T.J. Houshmandzadeh had 85 yards and two touchdowns, so didn't reach the 100-yard mark, but reaching the end zone twice in that Cincinnati loss to Dallas was impressive. And really the other guys who reached the end zone twice, none of them had huge yardage games. Larry Fitzgerald, a couple of receiving touchdowns for Arizona. Isaac Bruce, we saw with the Niners, he had two touchdowns, looked pretty good, only 49 yards, though. And Sonoris Moss with the Giants had a couple of touchdowns receiving and just 45 yards. As far as yardage goes, a couple guys hit 130. Andre Johnson of Houston, 131 yards. Roddy White, 132 yards. Roddy White has been a solid performer. I have him on one of my teams, and I cringed when I had him, when I took him, just because, you know, that guy has a lot to prove, and I just didn't think that Matt Ryan would be able to find him as much as he has. But certainly Roddy White has been exceptional in the early going here. A couple other 100-yard receivers, Randy Moss, of course, with his touchdown at 111 yards, Bernard Berrien, Dominic Hickson. Dominic Hickson getting a little more of a work, I guess, with Plexico Burris out. He hit 100 yards and found the end zone. Devery Henderson did as well. And Mike Walker of the Jacksonville Jaguars was the only guy who had 100 yards receiving but did not reach the end zone. So take that for what it's worth. If you had Mike Walker and you're in a yardage league, that helped you out. If you have Mike Walker and you need touchdowns, not so much. Now, when it comes to tight ends, we lump those guys in as the as receivers. How about Chris Cooley and the Washington Redskins? The Redskins are surging. He had 109 yards, eight catches, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Not bad for Chris Cooley owners. And Jason Witten, very similar numbers. Didn't quite get 100 yards. He was at 79, but he did find the end zone. Other tight ends who reached the end zone include Heath Miller, Donald Lee of the Packers, Mercedes Lewis, Tom Santee of the Indianapolis Colts found the end zone, touchdown 27 yards, Algie Crumpler, Justin Peel, Vicente Shanko as well, and Cooley was the only guy with 100 yards receiving among the tight end group. And let's just take a peek at kickers. I have Sean Swisham in one of my teams, and he's performed pretty well. He had another game with three field goals and a pair of extra points. The Redskins are scoring. That helps me out and anyone else who has Sean Swisham. And there were multiple guys with three field goals in the game. John Carney with the Giants, who also had five extra points. Big game for him and the Giants. Ryan Longwell on that Monday night game for Minnesota, a trio of field goals as well. We saw Stephen Gostkowski with three. Matt Prater of the Denver Broncos had three. And Shane Graham had three as well. If you had Martin Gramatica, I don't know what you were thinking, but he's missed a couple of key ones. He only had two of four, and he now is on IR. Tyler Melhath, I believe is how you pronounce his name. He'll be the New Orleans kicker going forward. So keep that in mind if you've got a guy in a bye week and you think New Orleans is a team that, you know, at least reaches the end zone or gets deep into opponent territory, and you think the Saints are going to be able to put their field goal kicker in position to get some field goals, go right ahead and add that guy. A few other guys that had four extra points, John Casey, Robbie Gould, Adam Vinatieri, and Nick Folk. Defense, you know, it's becoming a trend here. I think the Tennessee Titans are pretty much proving themselves as one of the ultimate team defensive choices if you're in fantasy this year. They had another solid one. They're on a bye this week, so you got a little bit of trouble there. But the Titans in a win over Baltimore, you know, not huge in this case on the turnovers. They did have two interceptions, but the pace that they've been setting is three or four in a game. But there were a few defenses that scored. The Chicago Bears scored a touchdown, the Colts and the Jaguars. And among teams that had more than two interceptions, the Patriots, of course, had three. So the Patriots gave up some touchdowns but also had some interceptions. Panthers, Vikings, Titans, Ravens, and 49ers all had a couple of interceptions. Web radio at Patriots.com. Like I said earlier, we encourage you to send your emails, even though right now we are coming to you from San Jose area, and we are recording this show, so we won't be able to take your emails within the show, but we encourage you to send them in anyways. We do have one email that we can get to right now, and soon we're going to also talk to my man Jason Dvorkin, who is running the show out of Foxborough. But here is a question from Jeff in Southbridge. I have Peyton Manning averaging 18.8 points and playing the Ravens at home this week, and Phillip Rivers averaging 24.6 and playing the Patriots at home. Manning seems to be heating up and Rivers cooling off, but I've been burned by starting the wrong one enough already. Who is the play? It's an excellent question. As we've seen, the Patriots' defense has been able to give up, has made some quarterbacks look okay. I mean, even J.T. O'Sullivan had his moments. And we know that Chad Pennington, while most of the touchdowns against Miami for the that Miami had against the Patriots were rushing or Ronnie Brown related, Chad Pennington had an okay game. But I still think that Peyton Manning, if you have Peyton Manning on your roster, even though they're playing the Ravens and Baltimore does have the number one defense in the league, I still shudder to think about how I'd be feeling if I started Peyton Manning or if I benched Peyton Manning and he had his breakout game of the year. Do I feel that will definitely happen against the Ravens? Maybe not a breakout game, but I still think he can do okay, even though Colts offense has struggled. But Phillip Rivers, while I am impressed with what he's been able to do and what that offense has been able to do, I also think that, you know, against the Patriots, it's not the best play. He's doing well. I think that he and Manning, you know, there's a chance they end up fairly similar numbers, but I just think there's a better chance of a Manning breakout performance, even though they're playing the Ravens. More from Jeff. Also, I was offered Derek Anderson and D'Angelo Williams for Phillip Rivers. I need a running back. My gruesome foursome, that's a great line right there, gruesome foursome of Ryan Grant, Fred Taylor, Jamal Lewis, and Lendale White is not getting it done. But I'm afraid Williams' bust out last week was just a one-week thing, and Anderson is in danger of losing the job to Quinn. I like the idea of trading Rivers high and sticking with Manning, but I can do better, no? well, you certainly could do better on the running back position. I feel like if you have Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning has already had his bye week, you're going to be fine with him. Taking a chance on Derek Anderson doesn't excite me. There is a chance he does lose his job to Quinn. I think a pretty good chance. But, you know, if that does happen and you still have a healthy Peyton Manning, you know, you could certainly search the waiver wire if you lose out on Anderson. I feel like, D'Angelo Williams, he won't have a game like he had the other day. Adding him into the mix that you have there with your gruesome foursome, would you be making it a gruesome fivesome? Yeah, in the sense of you don't really have a number one guy right there. You probably figured Ryan Grant would be the one. So if the trade is Anderson and Williams for Rivers, you probably can do better for Rivers. You would be trading Rivers high, which is a smart move. I guess maybe sit tight just because I don't know if D'Angelo Williams is going to be that big of an upgrade from your gruesome foursome. You certainly can trade Rivers. I like the idea for your team there, Jeff, of trading Rivers, trading him while he's high and maybe getting another decent running back or maybe even a good, very good running back, and maybe a possible QB sleeper. Maybe you want to stick tight right there. I feel for you on that running back situation, because if you took Ryan Grant early, probably in the first round, you're really feeling tough right there. Lendale White scored a few touchdowns, but you probably have a bit of a dilemma each and every week as you try to figure out who to do there. I'd probably say don't trade Rivers just yet, at least not in that trade. I definitely don't think Derek Anderson is going to do much going forward and probably lose the job there. But, I'd stick with what you have. Try to trade Rivers and move along that way. I think you'll be fine with Peyton Manning. When we come back, after a break we have coming up right now, we will check in with Jason. We're going to analyze his team. We're going to analyze my team as well. Again, the Fantasy Lowdown radio show coming to you from the West Coast, the first time ever. Maybe the first of two this year. We'll see how that goes. But we are coming back right after this here on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. And hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
The Super League Championship in the history books. The Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-Pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman! pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
Go. Fantasy football, as we do every week. The little twist on this week is that we're coming to you with the Patriots from the Bay Area. How much of an effect will the Patriots trip out west have on their fantasy team for this week? I don't think it'll have much of an effect. I think they're treating this as business as usual. They head down to San Diego on Saturday. 1-for-1 so far on this West Coast twofer. And, you know, it's been an interesting week from a logistical standpoint, just straying from the fantasy side just a bit, you know, and talking to some of the players over the course of these last few days. It seems like they're all very very satisfied with the way this week has gone so far and the decision to stay out west. And, you know, just the wear and tear that takes place after any kind of road game and flight. They just didn't have that cross-country flight. It's a tough turnaround, even if you're making a short flight and getting back to Foxborough and back the next morning for treatments and all that. Time it was like a home game. They board a bus, even better than a home game. They board a bus, they drive right by the airport and head right back to the hotel, and it seems like everyone was pretty satisfied with how that went. Even Matt Castle was saying yesterday, hey, it's a little better than a home game. You just walk downstairs, you got everything you need, food, massage room, trainers, equipment, and they're busing over to San Jose State each day for practice as they prepare for the San Diego Chargers. Jason, how's everything going back east? I miss you guys.
You don't miss us at all. You're lying.
Right. You know, actually, now that I think about it, I really don't. I mean, you I miss. You know, you always come by my office and come by and chat. You're one of the friendlier ones. You know, there's other people that just, don't come by and chat as much. But, you know, we'll make up for it next week.
Happy New Year to you, by the way.
Happy New Year to you as well. Happy New Year to you as well. Well, Jason, what were your thoughts on the Patriots Niners game, and anyone on your team from that game that performed well?
I thought the game.
No, I don't think you have.
I don't have any Patriots or Niners on my squad this year.
I am looking at your squad. You were kind enough to send me your squad, and you know the beauty about fantasy football is that anybody who is involved can relate to other fantasy owners, and maybe you don't have the same roster, the same decisions, but you have decisions anyways, and it's fun to sort of break down other people's roster if you enjoy this kind of thing. So we'll talk a little bit about your roster, a little bit about mine, and you sent me yours, and I see your
That's pitiful.
I see who you've got. What's that?
That's pitiful.
There you go. You're the coach, huh? Here we go. You got Jason Campbell and Jake Delhomme, two, I guess you could say, overachievers at quarterback this year. I mean, neither one of those guys going into the season was a guy who I thought would be a stud fantasy performer, but you've got those two. What have you how have you felt about having those two guys if you've had them all through the season?
Well, I have had them all through the season. I had a fantastic quarterback in week one, which didn't really pan out to my advantage.
Who was that?
Some guy who played for the Patriots. I think he wears 12.
Oh,
maybe.
Out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. I don't know who you're talking about.
Oh yeah, cheer for Tom.
But
there you go.
He Delhomme was supposed to be my backup, and after Brady got hurt, I was kind of scrambling for a week or two as my 1-3-1 record shows. But I was able to pick Jason Campbell up off of waivers, and he's been fairly successful for me thus far.
Yeah, and the most impressive thing with Campbell, I think, is, you might not end up getting the massive TD numbers or the massive yardage numbers. He has the fewest interceptions among regular quarterbacks this year. So if your league, if you get penalized, I'm sure you do get penalized, but depending on how many points you get removed for interceptions, having Jason Campbell has worked out well because he really has not thrown too many picks. Maybe not huge touchdown totals, but good enough.
No, I would agree, and my receiving corps has been fairly sufficient for the season. I mean, Plexico Burress has had a pretty decent year, and he's put up some numbers,
yeah,
with the exception of the 2 weeks that he missed.
Yeah, and that guy, boy, I mean, you understand that there's going to be injuries over the course of the season. It's frustrating when a guy that you rely on is hurt and isn't playing. But when a guy gets suspended because he didn't call up the team when he was missing practice and this and that, I mean, boy, is that frustrating. And I mean, you know, you look at the game against Seattle the other day and how pitiful Seattle was. And if you have flexed Bill Burris, you're sitting there saying he could have been in on the action. No, he would have had probably two scores at least.
Exactly.
Tough one. That's a tough one. But I see you have Brandon Marshall and Kevin Walter. You know, Brandon Marshall obviously is an emerging superstar wideout, and Kevin Walter has had a solid year. So you're looking okay there. And I see you got Santonio Holmes on a bye week, guy who, you know, maybe he'll eventually, but, you know, week in, week out, you can't really rely on him.
No, I would agree. You know, Brandon Marshall by far has definitely been the biggest surprise for me. I mean, I picked him up in one of the later rounds, and some of the guys in the league were kind of surprised at the pick. But as far as my receivers are concerned, he's kind of been performing well for me. I think the toughest question that I face every week right now is the defense to start. I mean, I have Philadelphia and I have Dallas. And both have had some outstanding games, and both have also had some not as good games as I would have hoped. But defense has definitely been a tough call to make week in and week out.
That is a tough one, and they both, you know, they both play in clearly the toughest division, you know, really in the entire league. And you know, when two teams in that division go head to head, I mean, you really cannot figure out who, you know, what's going to go on there. Now, I mean, Dallas and Philly, you know, from a statistical standpoint, Philly is better. Philly's had a better year statistically. Dallas sort of middle of the pack there. But, you know, you definitely have to go matchups. But it's, you know, when either one of those teams plays each other or plays another team in the division, you hesitate. You got to hesitate to start them. Now, this week, I mean, Dallas at Arizona. Arizona can put up points. They can score touchdowns and going out there. I mean, I can see that being a big-time shootout this week. And as far as Philadelphia is concerned, coming out to visit, really coming out to visit me. They're coming out here to the Bay Area. Maybe we'll cross paths with Donovan McNabb and company. But you know, at San Francisco can put up points. We've seen what Frank Gore has done.
Right.
Even Frank Gore in a quiet game the other day, he had a receiving touchdown. You know, J.T. O'Sullivan, he's prone to throw, but you know, he can throw touchdowns as well. And you catch Frank Gore on the right day or the wrong day, if you're from the defense perspective. That's a tough one. What are your thoughts so far? I mean, with two defense as far as this week goes.
Well, I think the biggest statistic that stands out to me between the two would have to be the number of interceptions. I mean, Philadelphia's defense has four interceptions thus far to Dallas's one, and I think that's definitely a difference maker on the stat sheet and for the points in the league. You know, they're both pretty much even as far as the touchdowns that they've returned and touchdowns allowed, but. You know, the fact that that Philly has the defensive backs to pick off the ball and do some damage that way, I think that definitely helps put them over the top. And they're four sacks ahead of the Dallas defense right now. So, I mean, I think Philly's got to be the way to start this week, especially playing against San Francisco, even though I'm sure they're going to go out to try to prove something after the game they played against us last week.
Right, yeah, I would have to agree that you're probably leaning toward Philly and I think that's the right way to go. But you know what? On the whole, I think over the course of a season, if you play the matchups with those two defenses, they're probably good enough. You know, you could probably get by. Now, as I look at your running backs, obviously, much like the emailer we heard from earlier, Jeff, you probably took Ryan Grant. If Tom Brady and Ryan Grant were your top two picks, is that how you went?
Yes.
Boy.
Oh, actually, Tom Brady was. We had a keeper league from last year. And the two keepers who I had were Tom Brady and Plexico Burress. So
okay.
It kind of let me have a little bit more flexibility on who I was going after in some of the earlier rounds. But
Ryan Grant has certainly been probably one of the biggest disappointments in fantasy football on the whole.
No, I would agree. I mean, I think my decision for this week is, you know, I can start two running backs. So right now, looking at my roster, I have Edgerrin James and Darren Sproles slated to start. But at the same time, you know, D'Angelo Williams going down to Tampa, I think he could potentially vie for some starting time on my squad. And, you know, I tend to think our defense could contain Darren Sproles.
Yeah, you know, the Darren Sproles is interesting. Certainly if it's a week where LaDainian Tomlinson seems to be slowed due to injury, you feel very happy having Darren Sproles and taking your chances there. you know, Edgerrin James, I think, is the guy you have to start for sure, home against Dallas. Tim Hightower has been taking some of the love from Edgerrin James, but as far as your roster goes, I mean, and you know, Ryan Grant at Seattle is an interesting one, and you might want to, you know, you still got to figure Ryan Grant has some game in him, and at Seattle, we saw what Seattle's defense has done, you know, did obviously last week against the Giants, and I'm just pulling up right now to see exactly how bad the Seattle defense has been overall. Seattle is 27th in the entire league in defense, so one of the worst. So certainly Ryan Grant's an option this week. And D'Angelo Williams, he had such a huge game the other day. Against Tampa, that's an interesting one. Tampa, you know, has a pretty good defense, and you wonder if a guy like D'Angelo Williams is going to bring a couple of big games together. Is Ryan Grant, Edgerrin James, by the way to go?
Bela, we got a caller who wants to jump in with us right now. We have Dan in Boston on the line.
Dan in Boston on the line.
Hey, Dan. What are you doing?
My thunder? Somebody's got it. You're lounging with the old people down in Florida.
Yeah, down in sunny Florida. It's not so sunny right now, but eventually.
What are you doing?
Maybe the will be calling the Bay Area down in Florida. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at right now. It's pretty sunny, as it has been all week.
Oh, it's raining in New England, so both of you aren't missing too much, but... Hey, Danny, have you driven above 25 miles an hour yet since you've been down there?
just barely.
What time's the early bird special tonight?
4:30, I think, dinner time. Somewhere around there.
Not bad.
So Bela, yeah, what's, I need your help again, as per usual, this week. Who do I start?
I love to try to help you out. I know I often help. What do you got?
Ronnie Brown, Reggie Bush, or who's my third running back? Marion Barber.
Who was the third one?
Marion Barber.
Oh, Marion Barber.
They're all playing pretty weak defenses this week, I know.
What's that? Okay, so Brown, Barber, and Bush. Oh, Bush, if he's got returns, you helped out there. Brown against you, you got to. You know, I give you a choice here. I think I really do. I think it's Brown. Got to start both.
Bela, your phone's breaking up a little bit. Let's step out for a quick break, and we'll give you a holler back.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Miles and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Super League on home turf.
Where the Super League Championship of the History books, the Revs are making another run in an MLS Cup Championship. Don't miss their playoff push at Gillette Stadium with the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack. With the Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack, you'll get two tickets to one of the Revs' final matches of the season and a pair of Budweiser Revolution pint glasses free. That's two tickets, two pint glasses, and one chance to cheer on the Revolution at Gillette Stadium with playoff implications on the line. Budweiser Quest for the Cup 2-pack start at just $38. Take in a Revs match, and you'll take home a matching pair of Revolution pint glasses free. Must be 21 or older to participate. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
Revolution.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call, and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
But we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place and Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
Patriot Place, New England's first and only super regional lifestyle and entertainment center, is now open right next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough, Massachusetts. The home of the New England Patriots and the New England Revolution is now the home of New England's most exciting entertainment and shopping destination, featuring Circuit City, Bed Bath & Beyond, Christmas tree shops, Off-Broadway shoes, Staples, and New England's first Bass Pro Shops. Patriot Place has something for your shopping needs. And coming soon to Patriot Place is the first CBS Scene restaurant and bar. A four-star hotel, showcase live entertainment venue, and long-awaited hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon. Patriot Place will soon be the home to more than 70 shopping, entertainment, and dining experiences unlike any other in New England. Visit patriot-place.com for more information and enter the grand opening sweepstakes for the opportunity to win a $10,000 Visa gift card for a Patriot Place shopping spree. A once-in-a-lifetime experience every day. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Well, it's that time of year again where Sunday means you're doing something football. Whether it's tailgating in the parking lot, throwing the pigskin around, or just hanging in and watching the game on the tube, it's all about football. And when you're not watching football or playing football, well, I think we both know you're thinking football. And all that can make you a little hungry. That's why there's the tasty snack wrap from McDonald's. Snack wraps now come in your choice of three flavors. New Chipotle barbecue, honey mustard, and ranch. And they're available with grilled or crispy chicken. Delicious and easy to eat. It's the perfect game time snack. So grab one today. And when you do, if you're looking at that chicken select and it kind of reminds you of a quarterback in the middle of the pocket, except now he's surrounded by cheddar jack cheese, ranch sauce, and lettuce, well, maybe you're thinking just a little too much about football. McDonald's. I'm loving it.
We're back on the Fantasy Lowdown. I think we got Brian Lowe back.
Hello, are you with us?
I am here. I am here, Jason. Can you hear me?
I got you, buddy.
All right. Hey, you know, we're out here on the West Coast, and, you know, you think phone lines, you know, work fine, and you figure out here in the West everything's going smooth, and it was for a little while, but you lost me for a second. No worries. No worries, you know, you get a few logistical hiccups, but we're back here on the Fantasy Lowdown, coming to you from the Bay Area, the first time in Lowdown history that we're coming to you from the Bay Area, the lengthy history of the Lowdown, but fantasy football travels all the way out here, and I did too, and we're here to answer your questions. Webradio@patriots.com is the way to email us. Like I said at the top of the show, we won't be able to get your emails during this show. We are recording earlier in the day, but we encourage you to send your emails all throughout the week, and we'll get to them at the next possible point. Now, we had Dan chime in. He's down in Florida, but we had him call in. He had one big question mark. He's got two running backs he can start out of the following three: Ronnie Brown of the Dolphins, Marion Barber of the Cowboys, and Reggie Bush of the New Orleans Saints. Now, if we look at the matchups for this week, Ronnie Brown at Houston, Marion Barber for Dallas at Arizona, Reggie Bush hosting Oakland. I think it's pretty clear-cut. I think you go Ronnie Brown. I think you go Marion Barber. Reggie Bush had a big game on Monday night. Of course, a big portion of that big game was the return game, which probably doesn't count for much for you on a fantasy point of view. Bush is just too unreliable offensively. He's had some big games, and I like him. In general, but coming on a short week against Oakland, I don't see that being a big week for him. I think Marion Barber against Arizona, that's a game where he could get some rushing touchdowns as well. And I think you ride the Ronnie Brown wave, Dan, as much as you can. So, Dan, I know you're not on the line right now, but we will have Dan back on the show next week. Always love chatting with him a little bit and getting his fantasy thoughts on his team. Now, Jason, we were analyzing and dissecting your team a little bit. I think the only thing we hadn't really gotten to was tight end, and you have Jason Witten on your team. He's the only tight end you have. Obviously, you're pretty satisfied with him. And then a kicker, you've got two guys, Shane Graham and Adam Vinatieri. I'm a major proponent of only having one kicker on the roster. I don't care how good he is. When he has his bye, get rid of him. Pick someone else up for the week. And then if you can, go back to that other guy. Otherwise, just take your chances on whoever you have.
All right. When I get back to my desk, I'll cut Adam Vinatieri right away. But
you know what? I love it. I love it. Who's had a bye? Vinatieri's had his bye, and Cincinnati has not had their bye yet,
they
correct?
Haven't had theirs yet, no. But happy to hear your analysis on Reggie Bush. I'm going up against him this week. The team I'm playing this week is actually one of our league leaders right now. I mean, he's got Tony Romo at quarterback, Terrell Owens at wide receiver, Adrian Peterson and Reggie Bush are his running backs, and he's got San Diego's defense, which hopefully San Diego's defense isn't going to do too much. But, you look at those players, it's no wonder that they're 4-1 right now.
No question. I mean, Romo, you're golden with Romo, and, that's big. And obviously Adrian Peterson is the premier running back. And, with Bush, if you have Peterson and Bush as your two running backs, you could do a lot worse. I mean, obviously Peterson goes without saying. And Bush, you hope you strike gold on a few weeks and maybe you scrape by a couple times when he has, some of those games where, maybe he makes 8 or 9 catches. He doesn't have huge rushing totals, but he catches the ball. He's a versatile guy, and you see him on Monday night get those receiving touchdowns, the punt returns, and those probably don't count for you or for your opponent. But if you have Romo and Peterson, you're probably going to have pretty high point totals each week. So you're doing pretty well right there.
So essentially what you're telling me is I'm going to get killed.
Are you going to get killed? No, I think you're going to struggle this week, though, Jason. I got to be honest. But what do I know?
So
I
mean, one in four is in my future is what you're telling me.
It is what it is.
One in four is what it is. One in four might be what it will be, if you know what I mean. Romo's going to have a big game against Arizona. Minnesota hosting Detroit, I mean, give me a break. Peterson's probably going to run all over him. He's going to be one of the top fantasy performers of the week, probably at any position. For your team, I mean, you don't have a bad team, but, I don't know if you're going to have breakout performances. I mean, I suppose with Denver hosting Jacksonville, I guess Brandon Marshall could have another big game. You never know. Witten, you got to hope that, Witten balances out for you, balances out what Romo does, and maybe he catches a couple of those passes. So it's not as doesn't hurt you as much if Romo has a big game. But I think you might struggle this weekend, Jason. Sorry to tell you.
Well, it's a good thing that last place in my league gets their money back. So I
there
think
you go.
That's what I'm pulling for right now.
You got something to strive for. Good for you. I'll just take a peek, fill you in a little bit on my team. I've had a quarterback situation all season long. I entered the season with Carson Palmer and David Garrard as my two quarterbacks. Palmer, obviously I started him week one. I think I started him week two. You figure, hey, he's Carson Palmer. He's probably going to have the points eventually. He's been an absolute disaster, of course. I ended up cutting David Garrard because I didn't really like him too much either, and picking up Trent Edwards, which helped me out quite a bit for a couple weeks. Now, I mean, of course, Edwards is on a bye this week, but so whether or not he had a concussion last week wouldn't have mattered. And at this point, I'm looking at a Carson Palmer game right now, unless I'm able to make a move between now and then. So Palmer at the Jets, last week wasn't too bad. At least Palmer had a couple of touchdown passes to Ushmanzada. We've seen the Jets have some defensive breakdowns, like when they played Arizona. So maybe I can get by with Palmer this week, but I do still have to look at some of the options. Running back and wide receiver, I feel pretty good about. Running back, I've got Tomlinson and I've got Brandon Jacobs, and neither one has a bye this week. And Tomlinson against the Patriots, am I confident that he's going to have a big game? No, not really. It's been a while since he had a big game against the Patriots. I just think that in the chance that he does get into the end zone, you've got to have him on your starting roster. And Brandon Jacobs against Cleveland, wow, I'm excited about the opportunities right there. And then on my bench, I have Ernest Graham and LaRon McClain. So really no tough decision there for running back for me this week. And then a wide receiver, I've got Greg Jennings, Reggie Wayne, and Lavernius Coles. Jennings has been outstanding. Coles has been phenomenal, especially that one game against Arizona. And Reggie Wayne, his 350 yards and three touchdowns, I'm okay with that. And I've got Chris Cooley as my tight end, so I'm feeling pretty good there. Now, the problem I had this week was at defense, because I do have Tennessee. Obviously, they've been great. Love the Titans defense this year. They're the highest scoring defense in the league. They have a bye week. My backup defense was Jacksonville. I dropped them and picked up Washington. Washington, a surging team, and they're playing St. Louis. Hey, why not take your chances right there?
Could be a good move for you.
What's that?
I said that could be a great move for you.
It should be a good move, and I feel I'll certainly most weeks you got to figure I'll start Tennessee, but hey, maybe Tennessee plays Indy at a certain point, and Indy's offense is rolling. Maybe I luck out and Washington has a lesser opponent. Maybe I can do some mixing and matching, but obviously, Tennessee's defense has been tremendous. They haven't played the cream of the crop yet offensively, though, so you still want to have a reliable backup right there, but I'm doing pretty well here. I'm in second place in my league. I did have a tie on 1 week, so that's kind of put me back a little bit behind a team that's 4-1, and I'm 3-1-1. And this week I'm playing the third place team, though, so should be a good matchup. So looking forward to that fantasy week. And for me, at least for this week, I'm not really too. I don't have too many bye week decisions that I have to make. Like I said, it's really just Trent Edwards and Heath Miller, who I have a tight end, go along with Cooley. And then the Tennessee defense. We will go to the email right now. We do have an email that came in. We got from Paul in London. Paul chimes in most weeks. Hey again, B-Lo. Hope you're enjoying the West Coast. You know what, Paul? This is it's been a pretty solid week. Thank you for your wishes on having a good week, and so far so good. Need some advice on both teams this week. Some changes again. Now, he gives us his roster pretty much every week, so not going to go through all of it, but one decision that he made, he benched Darren Sproles, as I can't see him running up return yards with Gostkowski kicking into the end zone. I picked up Kevin Faulk and dropped Chris Johnson on his bye. Now, Paul, I worry that if you drop Chris Johnson, you won't have a chance to get him. Now, if you meant you dropped him to your bench, and I don't see him listed here on your bench, so I feel like you dropped Chris Johnson and picked up Kevin Faulk, I got to be honest, I'm not sure I like that move. I hope you can get Chris Johnson back after his bye. Chris Johnson has shown me enough that I'd keep him on my roster during his bye week. And the problem with Kevin Faulk is the type of game he had the other day, there's no reason to think over the course of his 9-year career that he's going to follow up a 2-touchdown game with more 2-touchdown games or more, even too many touchdowns at all. He's not exactly your, goal line back per se. And even Bill Belichick has alluded to that. I don't think you're going to get much out of Kevin Faulk from a fantasy perspective. He's definitely not a guy I'd feel comfortable starting. I look at who you have projected to start this week at running back, and you have Brandon Jacobs and Kevin Faulk. Jacobs, as I said earlier, feel very good about him. You have Darren McFadden and Felix Jones along with Sproles on your bench. I think any one of those three will be a better option than Kevin Faulk, taking your chances, injury concerns aside, maybe with McFadden, but taking your chances on, say, a Felix Jones or a Sproles might be better than Kevin Faulk. I just don't see Kevin Faulk, unless there's something fluky. I mean, he can score touchdowns every now and then, but I just don't see that happening. So I'm not sure if Chris Johnson's a guy you're going to be able to get back, but I would encourage you to try to get him back after his bye. And then Paul says, should I trade either Cutler, Jay Cutler, or Jason Campbell for Castle for this week? I wouldn't make a trade like that for this week. If you feel very good about Matt Castle over the course of the season, and you think that Jason Campbell right now is maybe at his high point, and you can trade high and get Castle, you know, maybe that's something to consider. I certainly wouldn't trade Jay Cutler for Matt Castle. Jay Cutler is a guy, you know, he's going to be one of the top performers. He is week in, week out. You should stick with Jay Cutler there. And if Jason Campbell's your backup and you'd like to bring aboard Matt Castle and make that trade, you know, I mean, I could do with or without that trade, but I'd probably stay put if I were you, Paul. Now, on his second team, he has two teams here. His second team, you know, he's looking at a few calls here. He's got Brett Favre and Matt Castle at quarterback. Oh, actually, Brett Favre, Matt Castle, and Carson Palmer. And he's sticking with Favre for this week, which, you know, the Jets playing the Cincinnati Bengals, I think, is certainly the right move. Reggie Wayne, Lavernius Coles, two guys that I have on my team as well. Not bad options there at wide receiver. Jonathan Stewart, Darren Sproles, Moeldy Moore, Tim Hightower, Michael Bush, Kevin Falk, his group of running backs there. Well, you know, you don't have anyone there that's a really clear-cut number one on his team there, Paul. So you definitely have some choices to make, and it's a tough one because you simply, it's hard to tell going into a game, you know, like a Tim Hightower getting two touchdowns last week. How do you know if that's going to happen again this week? Sticking with Stewart and Sproles, you know, I guess that's pretty good considering the circumstances there. I think Moeldy Moore, you know, is an intriguing option, although he is on a bye this week, so you're not going there. And then Owen Daniels, being your tight end, not bad. Steven Gostkowski, Redskins defense. I talked about them earlier. I picked them up. Love them against St. Louis. So, Paul, some interesting choices, interesting dilemmas. You've got Kevin Falk on both of your teams. I'm a big Kevin Falk fan. I just don't see it fantasy wise. So, I think you might have a little bit of regret there. This is the Fantasy Lowdown Radio Show. We're coming to you from the Bay Area. We'll get a little more time here in the show, and Jason controlling things back east. A couple of other topics I would just like to get to when looking at a few of the QB situations in the league this year, and really since week one, there's been a few every week, whether it be injury-related or benchings, and Tampa Bay is definitely an interesting one. It looks like Jeff Garcia is going to be back in the starting role for Tampa Bay with Brian Griese out. Garcia started the first game, got hurt, got benched, whatever might have happened there with John Gruden. Now Carolina, which is who Tampa Bay is playing, has the third ranked defense against the pass. Jeff Garcia, a tough guy to start this week. If you're in a bind, you know, the teams that have a bye this week, Tennessee, Buffalo, Kansas City, and Pittsburgh, you know, if you have Ben Roethlisberger, and you need a guy to start for this week, you know, and you're thinking about Jeff Garcia, you know, I think you could do better than that, but you know, Garcia's been a starter in this league. It's not like he's, you know, Dan Orlovsky coming off the bench and you're wondering, you know, what he's going to do, or even Matt Castle. Garcia has been a performer in the past. You can do better, you could do worse. Carolina is a tough draw for the Tampa Bay quarterbacks for this week. I mentioned Dan Orlovsky. Now, in Detroit got absolutely pummeled by Chicago, and a mea culpa from me. I thought John Kitna was going to have a big week. He's had some big weeks against the Bears in the past. It certainly was not the case this past week. Now, he's hurt. So is Dan Orlovsky. They're both questionable which one of them, if either one of them, will start. Then you got Drew Stanton waiting in the wings. So when you're talking about Detroit for this week and they're going to Minnesota, I don't like any of those options at quarterback for this week for Detroit. But if you're looking long-term, it's possible that Drew Stanton will be a guy to keep in mind and maybe stash away if you can have an extra roster spot there. St. Louis is another one. You know, Mark Bulger and the Rams offense as a whole were terrible to get things rolling. Scott Linehan benched Bulger for Trent Green a couple weeks ago. Then Linehan got canned by the Rams, and they had their bye week, and now Jim Haslett, the interim head coach, is bringing Mark Bulger back as a starter. I talked a couple times so far about the Washington defense. I like the Washington defense this week. Obviously, by saying that, I don't like Mark Bulger this week. If you were thinking about starting Mark Bulger, I say don't do it. Now, the Cleveland situation is another interesting one. And when we heard from Jeff, one of our emailers earlier, he was considering acquiring Derek Anderson. You know, Derek Anderson and the Browns have been one of the more disappointing overall offenses. I mentioned Ryan Grant earlier as one of the most disappointing players. But obviously the Cleveland offense has been an absolute killer if you're relying on any of those guys. And I do think it's only a matter of time until Brady Quinn gets in there I think Brady Quinn is a guy who you should have on your team, especially if you have Derek Anderson. But pick up Brady Quinn. I think he has a chance to not just play, but actually play well going forward if he gets in there instead of Derek Anderson. One more bad outing from Cleveland, and they are looking at a tough one hosting the Giants on Monday night, and we may see the Brady Quinn era begin. Seeing a few notes, looking at some fantasy notes this morning and yesterday, it looks like the New Orleans Saints, who have a pretty good offense anyways, might be getting two of their top guys back, Marcus Colston and Jeremy Shockey. Both could play this week when they host Oakland. Certainly if you had Marcus Colston, you were disappointed to see him go down for 4 to 6 weeks, but he's a guy who I think could jump right back into the fray if he does play this week and perform well. And then Jeremy Shockey, it seems like it's less likely that he plays. Not terribly high on him this week or really going forward, but certainly keep an eye on him if you've had him on your team. And if either one of those guys, or certainly if both play, then some of these waiver wire pickups like Lance Moore over the last few weeks, Devery Henderson, David Patton, obviously they look less attractive going forward. A couple of interesting things from Denver. Selvin Young and Tony Scheffler have both been ruled out for Sunday. Selvin Young, I have him on one of my teams, and I haven't been impressed by what he's done so far. And Tony Scheffler, an emerging tight end, but he'll be out for this week, and that's a tough one if you've got Tony Scheffler. It's interesting, the trade deadline in the NFL is coming up after this week's games. Trade deadline in the NFL is October 14th, which is interesting. It's not too often that you see huge trades on trade deadline, but there was one with major fantasy implications. If you remember last year, Chris Chambers going from Miami to San Diego, that was a trade deadline move. If you had Chris Chambers and you weren't satisfied with what he was doing in the Miami offense, I think you were pleased with what he did in San Diego. So certainly something to keep in mind as this week, as you go through this coming weekend, and then you start to look at your roster next Monday and Tuesday and start to plot out your course of action for the following week, week seven, you might just want to keep in mind the trade deadline and take a look. You got to look at if anyone does get traded, how it affects that player, how it affects the players on the team that guy is going to. In the case of Chris Chambers, does that make Vincent Jackson a better option, or does it take balls away from him? If you had Chris Jackson, Chris Chambers last year, and he gets traded from Miami, you might want to take a look at some Miami receivers who might have a chance to step up. So. Definitely have a few options there and things to think about as the trade deadline approaches, but rare is there a trade of major fantasy implications when you look at the NFL trade deadline. Like I said, we are coming to you from the Bay Area this week. The Patriots are out here getting ready to play the San Diego Chargers. I've got my laptop, so I'm able to work out my fantasy roster and free agency and all that as I would every week, and the Patriots are just going about their business. So we will be back next week on the Fantasy Lowdown. We encourage you to send your emails all throughout the week. We love getting emails. We love getting your thoughts, who to start, who to sit. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. I will be back in Foxborough next week, and we'll be talking about fantasy football, breaking down week six, looking ahead to week seven. My thanks to Jason Dvorkin. My thanks to Dan, who chimed in as well, Gary, and a few of the emailers that we had. We're heading out now from the Bay Area, wrapping up this show. We'll be back next week on the Fantasy Lowdown.